Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, June the 19th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our prayer today. We thank you that you continue to show us all of what is happening and reveal to us the fulfillment of all that you have told us in advance. We ask that you would fill us with strength and understanding, that we might walk according to your will in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share an article with you from the New York Times. It was published on April the 29th, 2020. The writer of the article is Ben Castleman, that's C-A-S-S-E-L-M-A-N, and the title of the article is Worst Economy in a Decade? What's Next? Worst in Our Lifetime? The title again, Worst Economy in a Decade? What's Next? Worst in Our Lifetime? And there's a subtext to that title which says, U.S. gross domestic product declined in the first quarter, dragged down by the pandemic grip in March. Don't even ask about this quarter. Again, the article is found on the New York Times website. It's published on April the 29th, 2020. The writer of the article is Ben Castleman. And the title, Worst Economy in a Decade, What's Next? Worst in Our Lifetime? Here's the article. The coronavirus pandemic officially snapped the United States economy growth streak in the first 3 months of the year. The question now is how deep the damage will get and how long the country will take to recover. U.S. gross domestic product, the broadest measure of goods and services output, fell at a 4.8% annual rate in the first quarter of the year. The Commerce Department said Wednesday that is the first decline since 2014 and the worst quarterly contraction since 2008 when the country was in a deep recession. There's much worse to come. Widespread layoffs and business closings didn't hit until late March in most of the country. Economists expect figures from the current quarter, which will capture the shutdown's impact more fully, to show that GDP contracted at an annual rate of 30% or more, a scale not seen since the Great Depression. That's going to be the worst in our lifetime, Dan North, chief economist for the credit insurance company of North America, said of the second quarter figures. They're going to be the worst in the post-World War II era. The Federal Reserve pledged Wednesday to use its full page of tools to mitigate the effects of the downturn and restore the economy to health. Jerome H. Powell, the Fed chair, said Congress, too, would most certainly have to do more. The depth and the duration of the economic downturn are extraordinarily uncertain, Mr. Powell said Wednesday. It may well be the case that the economy will need more support from all of us if the recovery is going to be a robust one. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said this week that he expected the economy to rally back quickly this summer as states lift stay-home orders and trillions of dollars in federal emergency spending reaches businesses and households. But most independent economists are much less optimistic. The Congressional Budget Office last week released projections indicating that the economy will begin growing again in the second half of the year, but that the GDP won't return to its pre-pandemic level until 2022 at the earliest. The Commerce Department estimates that were issued on Wednesday are preliminary and based on incomplete data, particularly for March. The speed of the economic shift means that revisions could be large, and some economists expect final figures due later this spring to show an even bigger decline. But the data, however incomplete, hinted at the breadth of the damage. Consumer spending, the bedrock of the decade-long economic expansion, fell at a 7.6% rate. Business investment, which had already been struggling in part because of the trade war, fell for the fourth straight quarter. Imports and exports both declined sharply as the pandemic brought global trade to a near standstill. The pandemic has hit the service sector particularly hard.
Restaurants are closed. Flights are nearly empty. And stadiums have sat unused for weeks. Spending on service fell at a 10.2% rate in the first quarter. And spending at restaurants and hotels was down nearly 30% on an annual basis. Consumers even spent less on healthcare as they put off appointments and canceled elective procedures. That pattern could hurt the recovery. Consumers who put off buying goods, especially long-lasting items like cars and washing machines, might simply defer those purchases, not skip them. But they're less likely to make up for spending on services the same way. No matter how many haircuts someone misses in a quarantine, it takes only one to get back to normal. When the new coronavirus began to spread in the United States this year, many economists expected a V-shaped recovery, with a sharp downturn followed by an equally swift rebound. But those projections were mostly predicted on a short pause in activity that could be quickly reversed. As lockdowns have stretched into a second month, and with disruptions likely to continue for weeks or months in many states, those hopes have faded. With each month of unpaid bills and rock-bottom sales, more businesses will go bankrupt or decide not to reopen. More workers will drift away from their employers, turning temporary layoffs into permanent job losses. More loans will lapse into delinquency, endangering banks and the broader financial system. The longer things stay shut down, the harder it's going to be to turn it back again, said Tara Sinclair, an economist at George Washington University. Those consequences have led President Trump and other elected officials, particularly Republican governors in states with relatively few coronavirus cases, to push to reopen the economy as quickly as possible. Several states have started to do so, and others, including large ones like Texas and Florida, will begin at the end of the month. But economists and epidemiologists say moving too quickly threatens both public health and economic growth. The United States is not performing nearly as many coronavirus tests as health officials say are necessary to detect and contain new outbreaks. Until that happens, a robust economic rebound won't be possible, says Karen Dinan, a Harvard economist who was a Treasury official in the Obama administration. You could lift the restrictions tomorrow, and the economy would still not come back if people don't feel safe to go out, she said. As a result, measures that we normally consider to be public health measures are in this case a really important component of the economic policy response. Neda Masaja, chief executive of Buffalo Wings and Rings, a restaurant chain based in Ohio, remembers when he realized that the coronavirus was coming for his business. March the 12th, that was the day that Governor Mike DeWine announced a ban on large gatherings in the state. And when the National Collegiate Athletic Association canceled the annual men's basketball tournament, that is Mr. Masaja's biggest draw. That's when we realized this is for real. Mr. Masaja quickly formed two teams. The first focused on ensuring that the business could survive the shutdown by cutting costs wherever possible, renegotiating leases and canceling contracts for linens, window cleaning, and music service, and looking for ways to generate revenue through online ordering and curbside pickups. The impact of it is unknown, so cash preservation becomes your number one priority, he said. The second team focused on reopening. How could the company put diners at ease once restaurants resumed business? Plastic menus are being replaced by disposable paper. Staff members will wear masks and gloves. Tables will be farther apart. Cleaning standards, already high, will be higher. Mr. Madeset is eager to reopen, but he's also nervous. He has been able to push off bills during the shutdown, but once it ends, vendors and lenders would expect payments. Rehiring and retraining workers will be expensive, and he doesn't know how quickly customers will come back. The biggest fear that I'm thinking about is that we reopen and the number of infections ramp back up again, and they say, "Whoa, we made a mistake," he said. We cannot afford a second shutdown. We only have one shot at reopening. And if we miss it or don't get it right, then the inevitable will happen. We cannot afford a second shutdown, he said. We only have one shot at reopening. Concern about the public health situation is complicated and has complicating the work of economic forecasters and policymakers as well. The usual tools for stimulating consumer spending and business investment don't help much when the business can't operate and consumers can't leave the house. Standard economic models can't predict when a vaccine will become available or when people will feel comfortable going back to work. If we could be told right now with confidence that an X date, whenever X date is, the virus will be gone, if we knew that now, I think businesses could plan accordingly and could make the right calculations, said Mrs. Sinclair, the economist. The problem is that we don't have that certainty, and that there's no way to have that certainty. There's no way to promise when we can restart, and that uncertainty is what's killing our ability to do good economic planning. Even businesses that have been weathering the crisis in relatively strong shape are struggling with uncertainty. Elliott Equipment, an Omaha-based manufacturer of aerial platforms and truck-mounted cranes, is considered an essential business and has kept its production lines running. The company recently moved into a larger facility, making social distancing relatively easy, and its customers, including utilities, telecommunications companies, and state and local governments, are still using its equipment and ordering replacement parts. But with the offices of potential customers mostly closed to visitors, new orders have fallen sharply, said Jim Glazer, the company's chief executive. It's hit a pause button on demand. Elliott pared its workforce of about 150 early in the crisis. It later received a loan through the Paycheck Protection Program created by Congress as part of its emergency aid package. At a time when many companies are at risk of going out of business, Mr. Glazer said Elliott isn't. It has been around since 1948 and has weathered many storms, he said. Still, he isn't sure what to expect in the months ahead. It is somewhat hard to plan given that there is not going to be an on-off switch turned on, he said. It may take a period of time. 2022, it may be even. That's a long time to wait. Now, that's the end of that article. And, of course, you see the problems being expressed here. They're looking forward to quite a fall in the GDP and quite a fall on sales. That article was found in the New York Times. It was published back on April the 29th, 2020. The writer of that article is Ben Castleman. And the title was Worst Economy in a Decade. What's next? Worst in our lifetime? Well, let's share another article on the same subject, and this one is found in the Fortune magazine. It's published on April the 20th, 2020, and the title of the article is The Trillion-Dollar Question, How Far Will GDP Fall? That's Gross Domestic Product. The Trillion-Dollar Question, How Far Will GDP Fall? The article was published on April the 20th, 2020. The writer of the article is Bernard Warner, W-A-R-N-E-R. Here is that article. Bad doesn't even begin to tell the full story. And yet bad is the conclusion every economist reaches when they run the numbers on the second quarter. The Great Concession will result in a hit to the U.S. economy unlike any ever seen. All we've left to argue over is whether the eventual recovery will be a V-shape or a quick-shape rebound, a U-shape, a protracted turnover, or the dreaded L-shape, a bottom with no recovery. Everyone who has ventured a prediction on GDP is starting from the same equation. It will be familiar to anyone who looked into the intro to macroeconomics in college. The most important part of that equation is C. In 2019 consumption, the engine accounted for 68% of U.S. GDP. Of that, services, paying for a doctor's visit, hiring a management consultant, that was representative of 47%. In other words, all of the figures that you see that caused the economy to grow in the past are now flat and falling. You probably cut back on consumption of discretionary goods, automobiles, household appliances, luxury items, building materials, consumer electronics. All those things add up, and they're falling pretty sharply. Some of them are falling out of bed, explains Mickey Livy, chief economist of Americas and Asia at Burns Capital Markets. Drilling down on the services numbers, Goldman Sachs calculates a 90% decline in sports and entertainment spending in April, and a 75% fall in spending on public transportation and food services, which includes restaurants. Also, they predict a 65% drop in hotel bookings, about the only sector of consumption that could actually grow is healthcare spending, which Goldman Sachs sees climbing 1.6%. So with Goldman, Bank of America, Deutsche Bank, and NatWest, each estimating at least a 30% Q plunge, it's safe to say consumer spending will fall by roughly $450 billion over the next 3 months. Now that's a big fall. The investment accounts, which falls under 70% of GDP, is already much lower than it would normally be. It includes everything from factories, manufacturing equipment, IP investment, and inventory turnover. U.S. manufacturers account for 11.4% of economic output, and they're hurting. According to the Institute of Supply Management, every facet of its manufacturing index, from new orders to employment to prices, shrunk in March. No surprise, there are factories across the country, including those running by Boeing, America's biggest manufacturer, plus the auto majors, shut down. April is expected to be even worse. Goldman forecasters are saying 35% decline is the one that is coming. Which brings us to one idea of the equation expected to grow government spending. But that's tricky. You'd think a $2.2 trillion stimulus dollar bill and hundreds of billions the Federal Reserve is pumping into the financial system would lift the GDP. Technically, most of that is defined as transfer payments, which by definition means it's not going to the GDP. It's going to supply help and assistance to the payments of employees. Coronavirus has devastated global trade, which means imports and exports will both crash. The U.S. has run a trade deficit for years, a persistent drag on GDP. The next imports tally will actually worsen in 2020, Goldman says. There is no tried and true mathematical formula for pandemic economics. Economists say they'll watch weekly jobless claims figures and recalibrate forecasts. From there, some will be working off a model that adapts Okun law, named after the American economist Arthur Okun, who first posited that for every 1% rise in the employment rate, you get a 2% fall in GDP. So notice what is happening here in this article. They're taking a look at how bad this is impacting the economy. And of course, we are now in the month of June, but I can assure you that things have not yet returned the way they need to return. Even though stores are opening and businesses are opening and cities are opening, it'll take a while before they can even stop the flow downward. So now we're faced with an economic situation, which obviously will lead to a political situation. And of course, we already had a health situation. You and I can see clearly the events that are happening around us. And we can see that there is a time of trouble that is coming quickly and swiftly and will only increase in intensity. We've been warned about all this. God has told us about this in detail. And you and I have an opportunity today to be ready for what is yet to come. Let us place ourselves in His hand and trust Him to protect and to direct us in all things as we pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you continue to do for us. We thank you that we can trust you implicitly. And we ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary and the confidence and the faith and the endurance to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, June the 19th, 2020.